We're now going to consider the texts of this Mass, which they, in the lectionary, is called the Vigil of Christmas. And I've already spoken about how, where it can be used, and I'm sure there are directions in the liturgy, in the lectionary as well. Now, these readings are very beautiful, and they are all about the joy of the fulfillment of the promise to David, as we'll see when we look at these texts. The first text is from Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, as you know, is the third part of Isaiah. Chronologically, the book was constructed in three sections, or three stages. Stage 1, Isaiah 1, goes up to chapter 39. Then from chapter 40 to 55, we have the second part, called the Book of Consolation, because it starts, Nachmu, Nachmu Ami, console, console my people. And then the last section, where we are now, starts in chapter 56. Quite beautifully. Now, we're not going to get into a lot of this. We don't need it. But the part that is important is that in 3rd Isaiah, there are many promises of restoration, of salvation. And one of them is the one that the liturgy picks up to celebrate this presence of Christ among us. It's from Isaiah 62. The third part of the third part. Scholars are still working on how to understand. Everybody recognizes the three parts. How to understand these parts. The redaction work, the way that these people knew this text so well, that as they're writing this, they're aware of that, and they allude to it all the way through. It's remarkable. The basic theme of the third part is redemption, salvation, joy, presence. Though, once in a while, there are some other things mentioned at the same time. So, the text, you see, then, starting with the very first verse, of Isaiah 62, for Zion, for Zion's sake, I will not be silent. And for Jerusalem, I will not be quiet until her, the word is tzedakah, until her justice. I'll come back and explain that. Until her vindication, which is another word, and her victory, like a shining torch. In other words, I will not be silent. I will proclaim it. I will pray it. I will invoke it. I will speak to the Lord about it. I will not be silent for the sake of Jerusalem, and I will not be quiet until her righteousness. What's the word they use in the text here? Vindication, yeah. The word tzedek means justice. And justice, biblically, is the right relationship and fidelity to every relationship, honoring the truth of it. God has a people. And he's committed to that people. So when they sin and are conquered, including us, he comes to free us. And that's justice. But another way of looking at it is, that's vindication. We are vindicated to trust our God, no matter what. And so that's why it says, you see, that her vindication shines forth like the dawn. And the next word is salvation, which is translated, okay, as victory. Her victory. Okay. Now it goes on. Nations shall behold your vindication, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name. A new name, a new reality. What? The one who gives birth to God. That's infinitely new. You see? And you shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God. No more will people call you forsaken, you see, or your land desolate. For you shall be called Hephzibah, my delight in her, and your land shall be called espoused, Ba'ulah, because the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. Do you hear the tenderness of God? You hear it, you see? This is what kept the people going through hundreds of years of waiting and waiting and waiting and having occupation forces on their soil and so forth, okay? And then, as a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. What's being discussed there is the joy of a young bridegroom. Nothing like God's joy in taking you back to himself, you see? As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you, and as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. What a promise. What a promise. God will rejoice in you. Now, my friends, God already loves us. He would want to rejoice in us in an ever deeper way. So why not this Christmas give your whole life to Jesus Christ? You know, just not go to Mass. Give your whole life. And God will espouse you to himself. He will guide you, and you will be his delight. Can you imagine that? Being God's delight? He's God. Why would he rejoice? Because of the mystery of his love, which is what this whole text is talking about, you see? As a young man marries a virgin, your builder, the word they use there, it's okay, shall delight in you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. Now this promise, along with many others, was kept. I want to just show you by looking at the psalm that follows this in the liturgy. It's Psalm 89. Psalm 89 begins, I will celebrate your love forever, Adonai. Age after age, my word shall proclaim your faithfulness. Like the reading. But then what? You see? Then, once you spoke in a vision and said to your friends, I have conferred a crown on a hero, promoted one chosen from my people. That's David, okay? So it's celebrating this psalm, celebrating and sung by the people all the time. So, but then, starting with verse 38, but yet you've rejected, disowned, and raged at your anointed. You have repudiated the covenant with your servant and flung his crown dishonored to the ground. We're an occupied people. But you see, faith. We're an occupied people. We're in laughingstock. We're nobodies. And we're supposed to be the center of the world and teaching the world and telling the whole world about you. And we're, because of our sins, of course, you have repudiated the covenant with your king, with your servant, and flung his crown dishonored to the ground. That's prayer. Why? Because they love and trust God so much that they can speak their mind to him. God, it's been hundreds of years, it's been ever since Hezekiah in 786, I think it is, or 586, 586, There hasn't been a Davidic king on the throne. Here's a promise, your promise. And we've recited it in this psalm. And now look at us. We're an occupied people. We're poor. You know, we have no king. Or if we have a king, it's one of these clowns. Whoever can usurp the throne in power. Not Davidic. He's not descended from David. What about this promise, God? Now, you only ask somebody that kind of a question when in the back of their mind, in the back of your heart, you know somehow he's going to be faithful. But look at the years, the centuries that they waited. They waited and waited and waited. But you see, they don't mind speaking their mind. You see? You have rejected, disowned, and raged at your anointed. You have repudiated the covenant with your servant and flung his crown dishonored to the ground. You have pierced all his defenses, laid his forts in ruin. Any man can go and loot him. His neighbors treat him with scorn. You see? Adonai, how much longer will you hide? Forever? How much longer must your anger smolder like a fire? Lord, where are those earlier signs of your love? How I take these pagans' taunts to heart. Adonai, that your enemy have offered insults to your anointed wherever he goes. But still, I trust you. Still, we trust you. You promised, and you will come through. But not what we see now is not the fulfillment of the promise we just sang about in the first part of the psalm. That's faith. That's knowing God. Remember when God promised Abraham, you see, all those, your posterity will be as numerous as the stars. And Abraham says, yes, I understand. It'll be my foreman's children, because I don't have any. And God said, come out. See those stars up there? Count them if you can. See the grains of sand? Count them if you can. This will be the number of your descendants from your body and from your faith. And Abraham believed God. And that was credited to him as justice, as the right way to relate to God. So you see, faith is always challenged. Now what do? When our faith is challenged, we quit. We set up a sort of a toleration mode with God. I'll go to church, but I'm not going to really believe you anymore because I lost my job or this happened. And the Lord is saying, don't you understand? You've only got this life to get holy. And you won't get holy unless you believe in me and act it out. You've only got this life. Take my promises to heart, lay hold of them, and I promise you, you will see them vindicated. But you have to lay hold of them. Pray, obey me, lead a moral life, worship with God's people every Sunday. Be there, trusting me that I will make good on the promises I've made to you. And be at peace. And that's the way this psalm ends, as a model. It's a response to this promise that we just heard in Isaiah.